The Port Game Day podcast is a weekly preview of Port Adelaide's AFL action. Make us part of your game day routine and tune in as you get ready to cheer on the power. Welcome back to the Port Game Day podcast, coming to you on the Port Fan Radio Network. I'm your host, John, and I'm stuck on 47 games in the Div 6 reserves. Joining us as usual, the man who needs no or gets no introduction, it's Friendly Andrew.
Howdy, everyone. How's it going?
Not too bad. Well, that was a rhetorical question for our listeners, was it?
Yes.
Okay. Moving right along then. Also with us is a shadowy figure from the Adelaide hip-hop scene and former winner of KFC's Kicking for Chicken. G'day, Jimmy.
G'day, boys. G'day, and thanks for listening.
Absolutely. Well, guys, we're coming to the listeners on Port Fan Radio slightly earlier this week due to our personal schedules, but the good news is the footy is on earlier as well this week with Friday night footy at the Adelaide Oval against Carlton. Which I guess if you look at the fixtures, probably one of the highlights in terms of time slot for the season. Power, we come into the game with a 31-point loss away to the GWS to face an opponent in Carlton against whom we have a 2-4 win-loss record in the Hinkley era, despite a not-so-fun fact that we've finished above them on the ladder in each of those seasons. And both of those wins that we had actually only came in the 2014 season. So every other season in the Hinkley era, we've lost out to the Blues. So is it fair to say that Carlton have a bit of a either real or perceived psychological edge over at this point, having at least been able to play above themselves and restrict our game plan? So guys, on a scale of 1 to 12, where 1 is not at all, 6 is to some extent, and 12 is very much so, how worried are you about the Blues this week?
Oh, I'd say 2 or 3. I mean, if it starts raining, I think there's a 40% chance of rain. They might try and slug it out, and we saw what they did against Essendon when it was a tough, contested, you know, in an under type game, but hopefully if the rain stays away, I think we're just too good around the ground, and with the inclusion of Ryder and hopefully that midfield getting back to where it was in the first 2 weeks, we should comfortably win.
I'm about a 6, I think. I think our performances today, even though we've lost the last two, have been against two of the better sides of the competition. I think we've been competitive in both of those. Carlton haven't really got off to a flying start to the year. And I think the 6 is only... I think I'd be down with Jim if it was another club. But Carlton, as you've set out, John, have done us over a couple of times. And so that's where some of the hesitancy, I guess, comes into it.
Yeah, and obviously don't know wasn't an option for those... that rating system. As I said, like we're 2-4 against them in the Hinkley era, but we've been a better team if you take into account the ladder throughout each of those years. So, it's been one of those sides that are just would you say bogey side? I don't know, but it's due to some of the, I guess maybe some of the times that we've played them throughout the season. You know, we had that situation where Mick Malthouse was sacked and they were all pretty fired up in 2015, and some other points where we've been perhaps at like a lower ebb of form. But they're just a team who were like on paper you'd think, and I'm sure most AFL pundits would have us as the better side, but one of the things about Carlton is their stars play well against us, but some of their spuds or lesser lights, to be more respectful, always play their best games of the season against us. Like Andreas Everett, who won't play this week, Kaz Bolt, Troy Menzel, Dennis Armfield, Jed Lamb and Liam Jones have all kicked multiple goals against us in those past two wins. You said you were pretty comfortable, Jim, about coming to the game. I think we've I think if I remember back to our 2015 podcast, we probably had the same thoughts, and then they rolled us. So you'd hope that you'd hope that we've marked this on the kind of on the calendar as a bit of a redemption game, because they've really shown us up in the past couple.
Yeah, they have, and we were in a similar position as far as on paper, I guess you want to look at it from that point of view, and they just managed, like you said, to have a couple of lesser likes, pull something out of their backside and run over the top. But when you look at it as a whole, when we've beaten them, we've absolutely smashed them. And when they've beat us, it's been by a couple of points. I think they've beat us the last three times they beat us, it was a combined total of 7 points. So when they win, it's a real close one. But when we win, we absolutely smash them. So yeah, in the last couple of years, these are the type of games we've dropped. And of course, you know, we've missed the finals, and you look back at those 2015, 2016 years, it's a game here, a game there. These games we just can't afford to drop. I think if we lose this week, you know, this and then we've got Brisbane next week, you know, I think it's just about game over for Ken. But it's a different team as far as their attitude and the way they've played and been able to hold up in general for the first 4 weeks have been solid. And I think we have to move on from last week. It was a disappointing way to end, but I think there's a lot we can take out of it. And with Paddy Ryder back in the team, I think he'll be breathing fire and really be out to prove a point. So, yeah, we just can't drop it. And if we do, there'll be big problems.
Yeah, there's a bit of Groundhog Day about this. It feels like almost the last 2 years we've played Carlton round five, Brisbane round six, and it's been our downfall. I think critically this time we obviously get them on our home deck, whereas the last two games we've played them away, MCG, Etihad, where they've obtained the benefits of some hometown umpiring as well. So to get them at Adelaide Oval, I think is significant in turning our fortunes around against them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that you mentioned we've got Brisbane next week, James. It was going back to 2015 where we had that nightmare scenario, didn't we? We had them in back-to-back weeks and basically coughed up the season, which was totally frustrating. So I mean, if this group's got any pride in themselves and how they want to, really be known and remembered as a group, they really need to nail this game and next week. And hopefully, as I said before, they've marked this one down on the calendar. It's a pretty weird one to do. Like, I mean, Carlton, as I mentioned, aren't a team that provoked much fear in other clubs around the AFL, but we should have a point to prove this week. And I mean, one of the things is that Carlton have kind of physically dominated some of those previous games. They averaged the second most tackles this season with around 76 tackles a game, I think. And it's that physicality they've brought into those games that have really, I don't know, it's kind of they've been able to restrict out us from getting what we want out of the game. And we all remember that tackle that Bryce Gibbs laid against Robbie Gray. And it seems that they have, I don't know, whether it's they feel like they haven't had anything to lose. They kind of have thrown their weight around. And I mean, Patrick Cripps is an outstanding big midfielder. The likes of our midfield leaders, your Boak, your Robbie Gray, Brad Ebert and Ollie Wines should really need to stand up and be counted this week.
Yeah, the contested possession battle is going to be significant. It's an area that we've dropped away in, or at least comparatively to our opposition, losing that against Adelaide and GWS in the last 2 weeks. We need to get back to the form that we were in the first 2 weeks. I think Ryder coming back into the team, he seems an obvious in. We'll certainly assist with that. Carlton, whilst they've got Cripps and Gibbs is doing some real work in the contested area, they've struggled across the year. Interestingly, they actually play a lower contested possession game in total. So in terms of overall contested possessions within the game, there's less of those events compared to us. So I think it'll be critical for us to make it a a contested game and use our depth of contested midfielders to bust out the front of stoppages and really get it forward.
Yeah, it's an area we struggled last week, and I think we went in too outside heavy against the Giants, and really showed when, you know, there was a game to be won and we just couldn't extract that ball. And I guess there was a breakdown with the inside and outside type. But I guess this week we can speculate on selections. Would you expect us bringing another contested mid, or do you think it'll be a one-in, one-out type of situation with Ryder?
I mean, that's what I'm projecting at this point in time. I mean, this is a bit of a unique situation for us because we normally have the teams in front of us, but it'll be interesting to see what our expectations stack up as far as when the teams come out tomorrow evening. I mean, my personal thoughts would be, I mean, I'd have White probably straight out of the side, but I don't know. I don't know if I could see the coaching staff really copying or admitting to an error. So obviously by doing that, I don't know, I've Ryder for Impey. Could I see them actually giving Impey the flick? I'm not sure. So, I mean, it's one of those outside runners, really, that I think probably go. Maybe a Sam Gray would be an option there as well. And I'd love to see, Brett Eddy or Logan Austin come in to kind of shore up our key position stocks. But I think the coaching staff's been pretty stubborn about its desire to have this kind of, smaller lineup. So what do you see, Jimmy? How are you seeing, our possible changes?
It just worries me. Last week we went in with an undersized ruckman. You thought that would have been a week to bring in another contested player. Just makes me think the coaching staff have confidence that Ryder's just going to slot straight back in and our contested footy will get back to where it was in round one and two when we were leading the competition and out contesting teams, which was, you know, helping us win games. So it would have been a good week to bring in Natalie perhaps last week. Another inside type, Archie, obviously didn't have a good game against Nord, but I thought it would have been a week last week to get another inside type, but like you said, I think it'll be a Ryder for a White and that'll be it. But again, I think last week would have been good to bring in another tall as well, but we didn't go that way and that ended up showing up in the last quarter. So the coaches have definitely made a mistake with selections. I hope they can get it right this week.
One of the things that I'm interested in seeing is whether we do something around our, what I call, players behind the ball. I was having a think during the week, particularly listening to the review podcast with Macca and Porsche, and trying to think about, they were talking about halfbacks, and I think, and Carl Amon pushing back, but I think in the game now you have these players that almost start behind the ball or start in front of the ball, and those players move up and down the field throughout the game depending on situations. But I mean, I'm looking at Broadbent, Hartlett, Houston, Byrne Jones and Pittard are all medium-sized players who start behind the ball. And one of the issues that we've had, I think, whilst we've lost the contested possession in the clearance battle, what we haven't been able to do is hold our defensive structure around the stoppage to actually, corral the opposition. We've been cut up too easily. And so I'd be interested to see whether we do something there, because we do have a number of those players. And I think five pretty similar, whilst they all bring some different attributes, are pretty similar players. But even when I looked at the ins and outs, I think Ryder coming in and I don't know, I was even thinking someone like Aaron Young, potentially, who's been quiet for 2 weeks. Whilst his shoulder hasn't come up as an injury concern, he could be one that they rest up.
Well, who would come in for him then?
Ryder.
So, straight swap.
Yeah.
You wouldn't bring in Eddie for Young and then take a White or a Amon or a Gray for a Ryder?
I don't think Eddie spoke about this on last week's podcast. I just don't think he has enough involvement in the game.
When he does get the ball. Structurally, it's a total different.
Yeah, so structure is interesting, because one of the things that I thought let us down against GWS that didn't against Sydney was conversion. kicking in front of goal. You go back and look at the Sydney game, and it was apart. But Brett Eddy had one goal assist in that performance. But what set us apart was when we needed to kick a goal, when we needed to respond against Sydney. Darcy Byrne-Jones, Sam Pell-Pepper, and Carl Amon all kicked goals from outside 50 that were critical in terms of either building momentum or stopping Sydney's momentum. And you contrast that to the last 2 weeks, and we haven't been able to kick equivalent goals from equivalent positions in those games. So whilst I accept structure as being an issue, I think conversion and being able to kick the goals when they were critically needed to be kicked has let us down more than structure.
Yeah, well, that's Sam Gray we're referring to, I guess, in those last two games. You know, big goals we needed in the first goal of the last quarter, for instance. I mean, it's a gettable goal by Ford. That goal he missed against the Crows, massive, massive goal in the context of the game. I mean, are we just going to let him off with another game this week, or does he have to be punished and someone else come into the team that's capable of standing up in those big moments?
I think, like, on the whole, like, the difference between, I guess, what we expect and what the coaches tend to do is, like look at a moment like Sam Gray missing that snap and, like, judging their performance based on that. Like, we see that error and kind of crack it a bit, you know, rightly. So I've admitted to being up cheering the goal through before it cannoned into the post and looking like a complete idiot. And like, I remember back to that O'Shea handball from the Carlton game last year where he's had an open, well, targets in inside 50 and handballed backwards to Pollock, who had a man right on his back. And we've turned it over a critical stage of the game. It was one of the worst decisions I've seen in a footy field, and yet he stayed in the team the previous week. So I think they look at more like, I don't know, it's kind of like, I don't know, almost like field goal percentage. They kind of look at, it's similar how you rate umpires, I guess. Like, umpires make like hundreds of decisions in a game and they might cock up like a dozen of them, but on the whole, like, percentage terms, they've done well. So, like, if Sam Gray is getting 20 touches a game and is putting on forward pressure, like, I think the coaches would be more likely to accept that performance than, say, like a Matty White, 11 touches. I don't know. Like,
oh, don't get
you know
me wrong.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, Matty White was a big mistake playing him. And look, I'm just as critical on Wingard missing goals in the first quarter. You know, gettable goals by his standard. So they're just as important as the one that Sam Gray, he's just a bit more in the clutch of the game. But, you know, Wingard missing those goals, unacceptable by a player of his standards. And, you know, he needs to get his head out of his ass or something, because he's playing like a fig jam at the moment, and it's just not acceptable and really disappointing from a player who should be, you know, one of the best small forwards in the competition.
Yeah, he's probably at the lowest ever of his form in his career at this point. And, It'd be very handy for us if he could turn it around. It's interesting, like, I mean, Brett Eddy's a very good kick. I mean, if we're looking to bolster conversion, like, that would be an argument in his favour.
Yeah, that's fine, but he's got to actually get the ball. And the biggest issue, he's got to get involved in the play and get the ball. And the biggest issue on his two performances, or his three performances, has been, other than the Fremantle game where the ball sat in our forward lines for what seemingly felt like 90% of the game, he wasn't anywhere near it against Sydney and against against the Crows. So, I sort of feel like the only way he's going to get better is to play him and get him used to the pace. But at the same time, you've got to actually contribute.
I understand that. And that's the thing. My personal thoughts have been that at some point that it would click for him. Obviously, he's just probably becoming acclimatized to the pace and all that kind of stuff. And might have to wear a couple of those three possession games.
Yeah, well, how many Matt White games can we wear? You know, like, it's the same story with him.
Well, the point I was trying to make is that, like structurally, you can probably, like, if the presence of Brett Eddy leads to a, like, handful of marking contests where Charlie Dixon is single teamed instead of double or triple teamed, that, like, the net value of having Eddy in the team, if he pops up for his two or three shots at goal, is probably, on the whole, better. Now, I mean, some of the stuff, like those intangibles that we perhaps don't focus on as supporters because we're ball watching, let's face it, is like the defensive running and that kind of stuff, which I'm sure the coaches are paying close attention to, and has probably been one of the things that have been held against Eddie in terms of his selection.
Well, if that's the case, then Matt White gets dropped.
Well, I don't. Matt White still touched the ball more than Brett Eddie touched it almost in total in his three games. Like, I think we're fixated on this forward structure, and I think the issue, as I said, against GWS was not even getting the ball down there. It was converting those scores, and it wasn't a case of I don't remember too many long bombs to a Charlie Dixon outnumbered. I actually thought Charlie played one of his better games for Port on the weekend. I think we've sort of figuring out and getting our forward structure actually quite right. Structurally, I have a bigger issue with the back lines. That's where I think we've got some real issues. I think I absolutely think. I mean, I was sitting there pre-game last week just waiting for the message to pop up, Logan Austin plays, and when he didn't, I thought that left us really quite exposed. Mm.
Well, I was going to say, with the back lines, the ball's coming in that much, so I feel like our structures are holding up. We're just not getting that rebound off the 50 that we're sort of our game plan's based around. And if the ball's coming in that much, it's eventually going to break. And we held up for that three quarters against the Giants, and then it just broke in the last quarter. And that's a midfield thing. You know, the midfield have to win it, and then we have to have a structure up forward. But it's both ends, and in the middle it's pretty much a whole team, the issues around the whole team.
Yeah, I guess like my preference really is to not kind of have to play with one hand tied behind us, our back, both forward and defensively. And I mean, like as I was talking before about like Brett Eddie's presence in terms of structure or whoever that might become later in the season, like I think we're all potentially looking forward to, say, like a Dougal Howard or Frampton coming to the team. But like the same thing defensively. Like we went in short last week. The defence held up not too badly throughout the game. But if we're undersized every week, it's like we're going to get caught out. And we did last week with Patton in particular. I mean, Carlton isn't like their forward, tall forwards aren't like that constellation of stars that we had to deal with. With the Giants last week, but there's still like some big guys there. Like Levi Casbolt's always given us problems. I mentioned earlier that he's kicked multiple goals in those previous games. Matt Cruiser kicked some clutch goals last year against us, and Jacob Wiedering, the number one pick of last year, has been playing up forward as well, and he's a quality player. So all of those guys probably stand taller and a very big bodies. So while we probably don't have the class of last week, we've seen in late games against Carlton that their key forwards have been able to stand up. And I mean, similar to what we saw last week, where the game kind of falls apart when we desperately need to hold on to it. I mean, obviously, Ryder comes back in this week, and that frees up Jackson Tringo potentially as an option.
Well, I think the critical thing there is Ryder, that Casbolt and Cruiser, one of those will be playing in the ruck at any one point in time. So we're not going to. It's unlikely that we're going to be playing against both of them in the having to find defensive matchups for two of them. But also, I think Ryder can do athletically matches up much better with a Cruiser than Matthew Loeb. And I think he can go with him around the ground just that little bit better. And that's where Cruiser, I think, has done real damage.
Absolutely. Like Cruiser had 38 hitouts and two goals last year and, carved us up. Ryder hasn't played against the Blues in his short but interrupted power career thus far. So I agree with you on that.
Yeah, the interesting one for me is Jack Silvani. He had arguably his best game of the year last week. He's 6'3", so he's not a short, small. He's a general forward, but last week, 103 Dream Team points, 3 goals, 6 score involvements, 10 marks. So he's an interesting one up forward for them. Obviously, the son of son.
Is he legitimately 6'3"?
Yeah, well, that's what it reads.
It doesn't look it, does he?
Profile.
Not at all.
But he's the exact kind of player who would pop up 3 goals against us in a game like this over the last couple of years, where an unheralded player who we haven't thought we'd have to worry about coming to the game, although he's obviously shown a bit of talent in his short career so far. The thing is, I'm depending on matchups, I'm pretty comfortable with our medium, like our third tall coverage, I think, like a Dan Houston, who I rate highly, and I was a bit bemused that we went away from him taking the kickouts last week.
Mm.
He's just been super impressive so far this season, and like what a story really is. Kind of probably the last man on the list in terms of expecting a game last year through to kind of now being a 20 possession, 10 mark style intercept defender.
Not only that, I mean, he has to deal with being the opposition's punching bag every week as well, it seems like.
Someone will line him up this week for sure. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, I hope he has another good game this week and maybe gets a Rookie of the Year nod.
Yeah,
he's playing solid.
Yeah,
footy,
it couldn't be
there.
Too far away. Yeah, there'll be one week where there'll certainly be one week where he stands up and will get the nod. I'm sure. Up the other end of the ground, if we're done there, like for me, Chad Wingard and Aaron Young really have to stand up this week and kick multiple goals. I mean, you mentioned earlier, Young, Andrew is somebody you potentially could see getting dropped. We also spoke about Chad Wingard underperforming so far this season based on his kind of lofty standards. There's no Zach Tui for Carlton this year, who's traded Geelong in the off-season. He's the one who normally gets the job on Chad Wingard. So, to be honest, I'm not sure who their kind of players there. Maybe shut down medium, small defenders at the moment. But there'd have to be an opportunity there because Tui is always a pretty decent matchup.
Yeah, I couldn't pick out their small defenders from their team. I mean, Cade Simpson and Sam Doherty tend to play that behind the ball sort of half back flank role. I mean, maybe they go to him, but both of them seem give me the impression they're more sort of loose players as opposed to your lockdown smalls.
No, I was going to say that is it Doherty? Yeah,
Doherty.
Doherty. Yeah, he was one of their best last week, definitely. And I didn't realise he was named in the 40-man All-Australian squad. But, yeah, he's their run and carry off half-back. So we might look to maybe get a defensive match-up for him.
Mm. And that's the job that Sam Gray has been doing in recent weeks, I think. Yeah, Doherty. Are you guys getting that static? Yeah. As you mentioned, Doherty had a really good season last year, got a lot of the football and had a really good game against us, I believe, along with Patrick Cripps. So, I mean, there's players there that have performed consistently against us in past years. I reckon Martin Murphy's dined out on us for about 10 years going on, and he's in some ripping form at the moment, getting a lot of footy. So, as I think I mentioned earlier in the pod, it's up to our midfield leaders to stand up this week, and having Paddy Ryder back in there will be a massive gain. So, should we move on to our summary of the game? Okay, we'll move on to our six-pointers now, and this is our usual segment where our panellists can make predictions about the game. We'll all keep an eye on as the game unfolds. So, Jimmy, who's your best on ground by Supercoach points this week?
I'll go with Travis Boak. I liked his game last week. Kicked a couple of big goals. He likes playing on the Adelaide Oval. I think he'll really lead from the front this week, and I'm looking forward to seeing him hopefully get the win against Carlton.
I'm going to go Ollie Wines.
He had a down week last week. I think I don't know whether he's still leading the Coaches Association leaderboard, but it'd be good to see him bounce back because he was really, through the first three games, putting together just a super season. So hopefully he can get back to it this week. So Andrew, leading goal kicker for the pair?
I'm going to go Charlie Dixon to match his former teammates, bag of seven.
Righto.
Nice. I want Chad Wingard to have a bounce back week this week and really, you know, convert his opportunities. He's still getting opportunities. He's just, his kick looks a bit like this, he's got the yips or there's a kink in it or something. He just needs to get back to his fluent. He's got a beautiful kick when he kicks through the ball. It's all upstairs for Chad. He just needs to sit, take his time, go through his routine and kick those goals, because he's a big time player when he kicks them, and we need him to kick a bag this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you mentioned upstairs there, Jimmy. I think there's a fair bit of that this week, just on the whole, for the whole team, really being mentally switched on and absorbing and fighting back as far as the pressure that Carlton apply to us. This question here is for the Jared Poulton Memorial Shield, and that is for how many players of ours will get over 27 possessions. So Jimmy, why don't you kick that one off?
Oh God. Well, if it's dry, I will predict it will be a high possession type of game. I'd say 5.
Andrew,
I'm going to go 4.
Okay, so it's predicted rain, is it? I just need to make some fashion choices for Friday 40, night.
40% chance.
Okay, all right. So it's you're saying there's a chance. Okay. crowd, Friday night footy, might be a bit damp. Andrew, what are you taking for the crowd?
I'm going to go with 50,500.
Wow. The Carlton fans,
that's massive.
Carlton fans do get along to their to these games. Jimmy, what do you reckon?
Yeah, Friday night, it's a big showcase type of game for us. I don't know how many we've got this year, but... look, I'll take 49.
Fair enough. And finally, guys, I mean, we're pretty far out from the game here, so what are your thoughts on margin of tip for Friday night's game? So, Jimmy, give us yours.
Yeah, I'll take the safe bet. Port by 45.
Andrew?
Port by 35.
Is it, like, would you guys understand if I tip against us in as far as putting the reverse jinx on us, or what are our thoughts on that?
Leave that sort of business to Macca.
Okay, I thought Yanis was the spiritual kind of talisman. With that being said, I'll tip Port Adelaide by, let's go with 42 points. Yep. Well, guys, nice tight little Wednesday evening pod there, getting the Port fans ready for the big clash against the Blues on Friday night. And wherever you are, be that in Adelaide or China or wherever you find yourself on Friday night, we hope you enjoy the game if you're going for the power. So keep an eye out for the reviews of the game on Port Fan Radio next week. There's plenty of shows. There's almost one coming out every day at the moment. So yeah, get around the boys, tell your friends who are your fellow Port fans, and give us a rating on iTunes. But otherwise, guys, enjoy the game. Jimmy, Andrew, thanks once again.
I look forward to seeing you there.
All right, lads. Well, we'll see you there at the Gary Mack Bar or otherwise. Go to the power.
Go Port.
Come Port.
Come here.